Services District meeting for
this July 13th. Thank you. Sally, can I ask for you to do a roll call vote, please? I mean, a roll call.
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
She's not here tonight.
Director Guerrero?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Thank you. I'm Karen. Can I ask you to lead us in a flag salute?
Attention.
Hand over your heart. Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Karen. At this time, we'll take a review of the agenda. Is there anything that needs to be added?
Madam President, for accounts payable, we have some revised items. Both in the original package, some of those pages did not print properly, and a couple items didn't show up. And so the properly printed list has been passed out.
One moment. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Again, so the original exhibit that was in the package did not print properly, so the updated, the properly printed package is in there, as well as then there was addition of two other items, and those are both payments to CalPERS for the annual unfunded liability payment. Those are due at the end of the month. In order to avoid the 7% charges if you were to pay on a monthly basis. And those could have been included on the next agenda, but I wanted to make sure we had plenty of time to get them in the mail and sent off, so we added those items. So with that, for the consent agenda, when we get there, the appropriate motion would be as revised.
Okay, great.
Make a motion we approve the agenda as modified.
Second.
Okay. So yeah, let's do a roll call on this. Or can we do this all in favor? All in favor?
Yes. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained. Okay, it passes 4-0. Okay, at this time we'll do public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Does anybody want to do public comment tonight for items that we don't have on the agenda? Okay, great. So let's just move it right along to special presentations and reports. Pablo, I think that would be you.
Start with Tony, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Tony's first.
Sorry,
up.
Tony.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino.
Good evening, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
All right, state water deliveries year-to-date is 331 acre-feet. We had to pump a couple acre-feet last month, so we're at 2.5 acre-feet for the year. Lopez treatment plant wanted to do some repairs to their intake structure, so we anticipated a little bit lower flows, so we pumped 2 acre-feet. Lopez is currently at 27.1 acre-feet, which is 13,400 acre-feet. So for the past couple weeks, we did some main flushing to get the water quality back up a little bit. Booster station, we had to fix some copper piping to our booster station. Some concrete, we improved the yard by adding a little bit of concrete, getting rid of some of that dirt, adding a little bit more parking. We had some trash postings. We had door hangers. New fiscal year, so we are continuing to do the sewer cleaning. So we're hitting that quite a bit right now.
Great.
Any questions?
No, I don't have any.
No, thank you, Tony.
Have any?
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. All right. Karen, do you want to do Five Cities Fire Authority update, or do you want to wait for your committee?
I don't have much of an update. We did have a very tragic situation that involved a fire Sunday morning. A couple of days ago. involving, it actually was a homicide, and the person was killed, and then he was set on fire. And the fire department was the first to respond, or among the first to respond. And it was kind of traumatic for our fire guys who were used to, you know, saving people's lives, and there was really nothing they could do but just extinguish the fire on a person who was already passed on. Five Cities Fire Authority's monthly meeting is at 10 o'clock this Friday at Grover City Council.
And that's for people who want to see the fire authority or want to talk about what's happening with the...
Yeah.
That'd be a place
and
to
we
be.
Will be discussing 4th of July.
Great.
And I should add that there were no major incidents involving fire through the whole 4th of July weekend.
Great.
There was one dumpster fire, and that was it.
That's good. It was loud, but at least it was...
It was loud. I think that was the most fireworks
I think that was the loudest 4th of July I've been through in a long time.
It was the most I've seen in Oceana in my memory.
And it's still going on.
Usually about bedtime, about 10 minutes after.
Yeah. I think we probably all live in the same neighborhood.
No, we don't.
Okay. Mr. Ogren, is there any update on the Zone 3?
President Lucy, a few items to update on. And with respect to Zone 3 and the Habitat Conservation Plan and potential contract amendments, as your board is aware, since the earlier part of this year and actually part of last year, we've been in discussions amongst the agencies, Pismo, Grover, Arroyo Grande, Oceano, and the County of San Luis Obispo, regarding potential changes to our Zone 3 contracts, with the primary item being wanting to establish storage rights, similar to the storage rights that we have in the low reservoir response plan during emergencies. That change in operations, we've been informed by the county, has to be incorporated into the Habitat Conservation Plan so that it can go through the environmental review. I generally agree because when Monterey County modified their operations at Nacimiento, they had to go through EIR processes and consultations with the resource agency. So the county has let out an RFP to have a consultant work on this and incorporate potential storage rights into the HCP process. So it's good news that that is moving forward. Second, on the stormwater resource plan, we put together a grant application that formally the City of Arroyo Grande is the lead agency. The matching comes from the Zone 3 from the county. That's valued at almost $400,000, and it will provide a number of different benefits, some direct benefits to the cities in terms of their compliance with stormwater regulations. And even though Oceano doesn't formally have drainage or flooding powers, there is aspects of the work effort that's going to address flooding in Oceano as well as potential storms because of the risks when flows exceed the levee's capacity. So we're going to have aspects there. It will also provide some benefits in terms of groundwater modeling and how natural stormwaters and creek flows benefit the groundwater basin. So we were informed this past week that that grant has been approved and have had initial discussions with Jeff English with the City of Arroyo Grande to make sure all the agencies are supporting the city in moving forward with that. And then the district engineer has been interacting and moving forward with our utility relocations for both the Highway 1 drainage project as well as the Airport Drive bridge replacement project. And so those efforts are moving forward as well, and we'll come back on your agenda in the near future. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Did we set an amount on those two projects that were to be used to support the county's efforts?
The cost estimates will be coming forward in the near future at such time that we'll also be bringing the reimbursement agreement to your board. So I don't have cost estimates right now.
All right.
But those are part of what's currently being developed.
Okay. because I don't remember an amount being attached to it either, so that's why I asked.
Right.
Does anybody else have any questions on
those
two projects? Okay. Pardon me? So is there any report for the South County Sheriff's Station or anything? Okay. At this time, we'll take public comment for item 6A. Is there any public comment for item 6A, the ones we just went through, the staff reports? Ms. Tacker?
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I usually don't speak at this point in the agenda. Usually you have the rest of your director reports. I'm curious if you'll then open it again.
Yes.
Okay, I look forward to that. Mr. Ogren, you did just mention the reimbursement agreements, and I guess my question is, who's reimbursing who, and who's going to do the work? And maybe, I know you said it would be on a future agenda, but if we kind of had that, then we'd all know what exactly you to expect when you do have it on the agenda. Thanks.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any public comment for the items that were just discussed? Hearing none, we'll move on to items 6B. This is the director's report. These are for directors who have attended meetings the past 2 weeks. I don't think I include myself in that. So is anybody else? Oh, I actually did.
I did not attend any meetings, but I think you did.
I did.
Yes.
I'll do my recollection. Don't
think I did. No, go ahead. So we're going to start down at that end of the table.
I passed because I didn't attend any.
Okay. I don't think I hadn't either, did I?
Did you have the fire authority?
No, it's this Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you guys party.
No, we don't. We just meet when we meet.
Okay. I actually went to the South County Sanitation meeting. It was a very low-key meeting. Believe it or not, the meeting took all of but an hour, which is historically probably the quickest South County Sanitation meeting in a long time. It was held in Oceano, which was nice. I think people felt comfortable here, and the change of venue. Mr. Clemens came in and gave an on-site report as to how the plan is operating and some of the redundancy work that's going on. And then Mr. Huebner gave a brief report on the redundancy project and some of the potential, you know, permits, hold up, timelines. So we're looking at probably the first phase of permits for the redundancy probably in January. So we're that far out from that project. We didn't talk much about reclamation, except for the sanitation district does, you know, need to pick up speed. Other projects that are going on need to accommodate that involvement. So I thought it was a really good meeting, and I think other people did as well. And so at this time, we'll take public comment for anybody in the public who wants to speak on items under 6B. Yes, Ms. Tacker.
Hi again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I would still like an answer from my question previously about the reimbursement agreements. I, too, attended the South County Sanitation District meeting, and from your report, it sounds like we went to different meetings. While it was low-key, the subjects that were covered were bathroom remodels, the HVAC system getting repaired, and a grit removal approval for some component of that. I don't recall much in the way of any discussion about the redundancy project, but I do know that there is some of the geotechnical work has been done, and I will look forward to seeing what those analyses evaluate. What continues to haunt me about the South County Sanitation District is that the redundancy project is $20 million, and the site of the treatment facility is in a wetland. It's in a floodplain, And your board has said numerous times that you want to see a recycling project. And the more money that's dumped into that location, including remodeling bathrooms, is probably money that would be better spent at another location. And I know I've asked before for you as a community services district and a partner in that district to have a conversation. This is your community. That property is in your community. I've heard you all say many, many times that it's somewhat of a bone of contention. People were called names back in the day because they lived near the sewer plant. It's time to actually move that sewer. Sea level rise is upon us. The flooding analyses are real. Tsunami is real. And we know that. You know that. And I encourage you to have that conversation because $20 million is going to be spent on a project that could be better spent. That money could be better spent on a project in a different location. So I look forward to that.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. I don't think that anybody disagrees with what you say. But I do think that you bring up a good point of having a discussion at the sanitation district and then possibly over onto this board. So I'll definitely keep that in mind and bring it up to others. Is there any other anybody who wants to do public comment at this time? None? Okay. This might be a 15-minute meeting.
It's past that already.
Okay. Consent agenda items.
I note that we have the amended, revised, I should call it, agenda. I'll move to approve. Oh, go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Jeff.
Are you ready for that? Or?
Go ahead.
Julie Tacker, and I, too, had a question about the cash disbursements and in particular, the board stipends, the addition of the $600 for Ms. Blackburn. I know that you're each allowed $100 per board meeting and $50 per committee meeting. And I just don't know, unless she went to six committee meetings in June, you don't get to $600. So I'd like that checked. And then the charges from the district engineer do seem like there is some activity there. And back to the reimbursement agreements, who's paying who, and will you be reimbursed for his work on these Air Park Drive Bridge and the Highway 1 at 13th project that he's working on?
Okay. Actually, I think I'm comfortable with Director Blackburn's invoice. I can recite the meeting she did attend in my head, so I'm fine with that. Do you have anything you'd like to add to it?
Certainly. I do review them. We had two regular meetings plus a special meeting last month. Each of those are $100. I know that...
A finance committee meeting.
Yeah, we had finance committee meeting.
She had RAC.
Regional Water Management Group. And I'm trying to remember if it was July or June, the Recycle Water Project meeting.
June.
She's been going to the Rio Grande Creek MOU meetings. So there's, several that...
In the Zone 118A2, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With regard to the level of work that DPSI has been doing, it is correct. A fair amount of work on the CHC project, as well as Airport Drive, as well as the Highway 1 drainage project. And we've simply had an increase in the number of new development permit applications as well.
Yeah. Does any other directors have anything they want to comment on the Will Serves? I read them very thoroughly this month, by the way. really super thoroughly. I got two naps in at the same time, though. Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to accept the will serves as amended.
I make a motion that we accept the, not the will serves, the consent agenda as amended.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion by Karen, seconded by Matt. Can we do all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? It's 4-0, one abstention. All right. Business items. Does anybody want to do public comment before or after on this one, Julie, since you mainly... do you want to speak on this issue? If you do, I'll wait till after. Okay. All right, so... okay. Yep. So, 8A, Mr. Ogren.
Madam President, 8A, update on the status of the district audit and consideration of a recommendation to extend the services of Caliber Audit, Attest and Audit for fiscal year 2015-16. The staff report really covers the substance of the issue. There's a few brief verbal remarks that I want to make sure to cover as well. First off, I appreciate the work of Caliber to the level of detail that we're going on through currently this year. A couple months ago, as your board may recall, I brought a 15-year analysis of the sheriff's funding and obtained your board's approval for a change in accounting so that is now all the interfund loans and everything and repayment are properly accounted for. Or it's called a change in accounting when you adopted the budget, the preliminary budget, in June, we also were able to, for the first time, set up repayments of all of those interfund. And so in addition to that 15-year analysis, there has also been quite extensive details that we've been working through. One example is simply deposits from development, and we've been going back into 2013 in order to make sure to trace details back with really a significant level of effort. Reality is right now is that we're working on both years. So we've been, like, for example, on the sanitation district, going back and doing the evaluation of all the revenues and what we've sent to the sanitation district. We've completed a two-year review on that. And the auditors, of course, have first focused on their first year. This is all a way of saying to the community that our timeliness this year is not a reversion back to days of the past when the audits simply weren't getting done. What we're doing this year is going through an extremely high level of detail that, in fact, goes in some circumstances back a couple of years. And so I feel very good about the detail. And the other benefit about our timing is that we're essentially we're doing back-to-back. And by doing back-to-back in the current, the audit that we're doing right now means that all the worksheets and everything that we're putting together, we get essentially perfect for the year ended June 30th of 2016. Having Ms. Cassiola on board and working through those is very beneficial. So obviously it would have been nice to get it done. We got our letter from the auditor that says let's get it done. I've been in communication with the auditor for the last couple of months and giving an update on timing and have encouraged open communication between the county auditor and the auditor that you've hired. And the last thing I really want to speak to is the issue of GASB 68. And so GASB is the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, and they put out statements that guide how we have to address various issues in our accounting and financial statements. And what GASB 68 does is it provides a significant change in accounting for pension plans. And I've gone through all of the literature on it, read it, and am comfortable with the theory on it. And so now we're actually taking reports from CalPERS and incorporating those into adjustments in our accounting records and financial statements and modifying how we have to track records over time in order to comply with these new requirements. Even today, we found out we have a couple more reports that we have to order from CalPERS, and it's going to take about 2 weeks to get those back. But that's the final analysis that we have to do at the staff level and, you know, respond to the continuing questions from the auditors. So, again, I wanted to make sure that this was on the agenda so that it's open and transparent. It's not a reversion to you know, history of years past. We're actually going through a high level of detail on this work effort and initiating the 2015-16 audit as well. I do want to recognize that prior board direction was to go out on an RFP, but again, with the level of detail that Caliber has been working with us on it, I think continuity is good, and then we can do the RFP, is my recommendation, right after the first of the year for next fiscal year. And I think in some ways, you know, we've got election coming up, and so with the new year, if we have new board members, it might be a good change in auditors as well, depending on how that RFP process goes. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
No, I know that they've been doing a lot of extra work, and it's taken a lot of time. I think the continuity is the reason, the best reason really at this point, to continue forward with this same group. And we can, I think the recommendation is well taken that we come back in January, do an RFP for another group. But I think the consistency will be helpful. And if there are new board members, it'll move us through that time as well. So, and help them get established in the process.
I'm satisfied with what's going on.
Yeah, originally I thought they should go out to do that, but with what's been going on with the changes and improvements of where we've been, I'm more than happy to have them stay.
Yeah, I actually agree with your approach on this too. To go from being being audited every year to going into a 2-year plan, and then bringing on a new auditor in the middle of that change in formula, I think would be asking for problems probably. So by keeping Caliber on through the first 2-year period of doing this, I think is a strategically wise move for the organization. So I'm in favor of holding it off till January. Do we need a vote on that? Before, I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to take it now. I'm just saying after public comment,
yes,
then.
There is a vote.
Excuse me. So it is an action item first.
Yeah, we do have to have an action item in order to authorize you to extend the audit services for 2015-16.
Okay. So at this time, then we'll take public comment on this. Ms. Tacker.
Julie Tacker, and the concerns I have are, number one, Caliber is already more expensive than its competitors, and you voted last year to retain them at that higher price, full well knowing that they were about $8,000 more than someone else, more than what you're paying, say, at the sanitation district. And you, the ratepayers, not you, this district. So that's my first concern. Then there's a 5-year rule of thumb that auditors should only do your books for 5 years. I think we're getting past there. I don't recall off the top of my head when Caliber came in. I think it was 2011. But there were books to be caught up. There were audits to catch up. So I think we might even be at 6 or 7 years of Caliber doing your audits. So that's not a responsible move to keep them on board. The staff report says that the direction was given to do the RFP for auditing services for fiscal year 15-16, but that the timing and technical details will create additional challenges. That direction was given to your staff months and months and months ago, when you hired Caliber to do 14-15. So I'm confused why that's been late or belabored, and that it should have already been done. because your books closed on June 30th. You want an auditor in here and you want an audit back by October for 15, 16. And then the idea that 16, 17, 18, which is what you just said, Mary, the two-year audit, the two-year budget, and to have Caliber do that one too, now we're talking closer to 10 years of the same auditor. That's just not healthy, if that's truly your recommendation. I don't think it's Paavo's recommendation. That's something that you just said. And then some of the challenges that staff suggests were related to staffing shortages. And I have seen in this district and others that when you have a vacancy, you call in a temp agency. You get help. And so I am surprised. I know Paavo's done a lot of work on the sheriff's building and that financial analysis, but I am surprised that this is later. This is the first year of Mr. Ogren's working for the district to be audited, and that audit is not ready. So I am, I guess, perplexed by it all, but I really don't think it's healthy to hang on to the same auditor at the same price, or now they're asking for an increase to get you through this current audit. So I have some heartburn over it, and so should you.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there anybody else who would like to do public comment? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to go back to Mr. Ogren.
Certainly, I think that the question of the timing of the audit is a very valid one. And the idea, though, of a temp agency to come in and do the help, in some situations would work out. But given the state of the district's records, the challenge with bringing in a temp agency is that then you're paying for and developing knowledge in an individual who is then going to walk out and leave OCSD. And so by waiting a little bit and making sure that as we go through the details, that knowledge and that work is retained by district staff, I think is really where I rested the decision to delay some of the work and take the strategy of really going back-to-back on the audits. So we could have done it more timely. We could have brought in a temp agency. It would have cost us some money. It would not have been something that would have broken our backs. But again, the knowledge that would have been gained by that temp agency would have walked out the doors. And so instead, I wanted to make sure we waited until we filled the business and accounting manager position so that we could work together and make sure that it's beneficial for not just cleaning up the records today, but for making sure that we establish some really good schedules and reconciliations for moving forward. So again, I think it's a valid question, and my response on how I thought was best to move forward with what we're working on right now. And I think the good thing is I have no doubt that our status of the records in even 3 months from now is going to be in extremely good shape. As a little bit of an example of how they had slipped, when you look at the fixed asset schedule, fixed asset numbers stopped being assigned to new fixed assets in 2010. And so that's just an example of how the procedures internal to the district started to slip as staff turnover changed and everything else, and why it's important to build up, you know, the internal knowledge of these details as opposed to using a temp agency just to get it done. And be glad to answer any other questions.
Yeah. So no. Sometimes we just miss our mark. I think we're okay. Go ahead, Karen.
I said no. I have no other questions.
Okay.
So I have a comment because I know years and years and years have gone by. The audit has not ever been complete from what I've seen. You know, I read through them periodically and stuff, and it's like, well, how'd this get into this designation? And I think this is the first time in many years that we're actually going to have exactly what's going on the right way. So it's going to be much easier to track.
Thank you for bringing up that comment, Director Angelo, because for individuals who are more familiarized with how auditors approach it, when they issue opinions, It's an opinion that the financial statements are a reasonable reflection of what went on with the district. Auditors don't opine as to the level of accuracy. So, for example, if deposits from developers are not quite reconciled, but they're pretty close, then the auditors can feel comfort with it. What we are doing right now is to make sure to dig in the details and reconcile things to a higher level of technical detail than what has happened in the past. And so it's not just get the audit done for the sake of getting the audit done. Again, it's to really make sure that we've turned every stone over.
I think it's great. It's needed that for a long time.
And so we do have a recommendation that requires your board's consideration.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else they want to add to this discussion?
I thought Sally wanted to say something.
It's like, don't ask
no,
me.
Okay. I think I was actually opposed to it last year, but this year and with what the things that are happening, I'm comfortable going out next year in January for an RFP. And we will be switching auditors, I would expect, at that point. And so this is fine. I'll move to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
I think Vice President White was first on that one.
Okay. Louder voice is all I have.
Okay. So do we want to do a roll call on this since it's a resolution? Okay. Celia.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Angela?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Thank you. All right, Mr. Ogren, let's talk about our alleys.
Agenda item 8B, consideration of a recommendation to authorize a temporary part-time employee to work on solid waste programs and administration. And Exhibit A provides a list of the representative duties that I would seek to have the individual working on. We have a Cal Poly graduate who's interested, seems well qualified. This item is not about considering that individual, though. In the budget, we've set aside funding that would cover about 500 hours of a temp worker. And the basic idea is to look at, you know, current practices and how we're posting on illegal dumping. Review the franchise agreement with South County Sanitary Services because I want to identify opportunities. City of Santa Maria, for example, provides vouchers to its residents so that they can twice a year make hauls to the dump. Now, the City of Santa Maria owns their own landfill, so they have options that we don't have. But we do have some provisions in the franchise agreement that South County Sanitary Inc. will provide us from free services, so the ability to perhaps develop a voucher program on a first-come, first-serve basis might also help reduce illegal dumping in the community. Reviewing the solid waste ordinances, we know that we have enforcement provisions in our existing ordinances, but those really need to be looked at more closely in order to make sure that we can follow through with enforcement provisions. The vast majority of the community, when they get posted to clean up, cleans up. We post on a Thursday and Friday, so there's a 10-day period. They essentially have 2 weekends to clean up, and the rate of response has been very good. Developing an understanding of the county code enforcement roles and responsibilities, because in certain situations, like during evictions, if there's people involved, we don't want our crews getting into those situations, so I want to be able to formalize how we are coordinating with county code enforcement and the sheriff's office, making sure that we develop a database to track incidences of illegal dumping, replacement of solid waste receptacles and locations. We've got a lot that are in bad shape, so we've started some preliminary evaluations of replacing some of those trash cans and are they in the best location, so following through on that. The idea of developing community signage is that in the alleyways, the fire department already has signs that says fire lane, do not block. Can we put something below that in order to encourage, remind people to not do illegal dumping? Public information, website information, options to improve the biannual community cleanup efforts. There was a special event several years ago that was led by Supervisor Teixeira and a lot of people in the community. And I know that some of our local residents have sort of a checklist on how to put that together again. So really get that back organized. Not that we're going to do a community cleanup right away, but make sure that we're set up on all of the things that are necessary. So I think it'd be a good opportunity to bring in somebody on a temporary part-time basis, specifically temporary part-time, because if it's regular part-time, then the employee is covered by the MOU, but if it's temporary part-time, that's not the case, and the intent of this position would be temporary part-time. So I just see it as an opportunity to be able to move forward with addressing some of the illegal dumping issues that the community faces, and our garbage fund is relatively healthy, and the budget provides for it, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
I think we talked about it before. I mean, this was one that we were expecting just to come back with more details, and that's what I think we have here. So.
Well, my question
is, first of all, how are we going to prioritize some of the alleys? You know, I can't trust that somebody's going to come from out of the area and tell me which alleys are priorities, you know, and I just wouldn't expect that. So one is that we have to figure out how to prioritize and get the big stuff picked up, and then how are we going to keep those alleys clean beyond signage? I think the signage is a good idea if somebody proofreads it before it's printed. I've seen bad signs. But I would like to know how we are going to prioritize areas. And let's take, for example, the island. You know, is that person going to be able to patrol the areas, know where the hot spots are? We have a lot of, you know, transient populations moving through and leaving things behind. And how is this person going to know, oh, that's county property, you know, not an alleyway, or that is a paper street, and I'm supposed to be down in there? So those are just kind of the logistical questions I have behind it.
And those are definitely some of the details. So, for example, having the database will track incidences more closely. Obviously, we know, your board knows, people within the community know where we see more of the activities in the illegal dumping. And in the islands area, because of the occupancy, and the, you know, around the fringe and in the bushes and everything, we know areas that tend to be more problematic. There's certain alleys that tend to get more illegal dumping. 22nd Street by the bridge tends to get more illegal dumping. We had some that was on the county's levee, and they're getting out there and cleaning it up in the next couple of days. So some of that knowledge is already pretty well known, but I think that being able to identify how to regularly implement what went on a couple, a month or so ago, when a bunch of people in the community cleaned out around the sand district, brought it out to the street, and we got the roll-off in there and taken care of and moved out, those are the type of things that we really need to establish as things that we can do on a reoccurring basis. That was something that we did in response to individuals. My one concern with what happened there was the potential of something that was oil or a toxic material getting into that roll-off box. And so in establishing a way that we can do that on a reoccurring basis, we do need to have some sort of a safeguard, whether it's Tony or Jason or somebody out there at a designated time, just as it's getting filled up, to make sure that no oils or toxic or illegal substance are put in, and those are dealt with separately. And of course, on a regular basis, we can provide updates to your board, get feedback, and board members can stand by and start sharing thoughts as well.
I'm glad you brought up that project, because let's take, for example, a lot of effort did go into that project, and, you know, a lot of people in the community, you know, were active participants in one way or another, but now the site's filling back up again. And so how do we make sure that that site doesn't, you know...
And that's where I think we have the opportunity to coordinate with code enforcement, county sheriff, even the sand district.
And it is a county, that's county property.
And so I think the thing that we need to focus on, because we know that some of that is a result of the homeless situation that's in the vicinity of Oceano, our focus really needs to be about health and safety. Right, with the accumulation of debris and the risks of health and safety, and whether it's doing an occasional surveillance and then going in there and coordinating so that the situation can get cleaned up quicker and that the accumulation of debris is reduced. It's not going to be eliminated, but by getting it cleaned up quicker, then we do reduce the risks on health and safety.
Okay. So then this person would just continually monitor that area, knowing that that area is, I guess, a hot spot in a sense.
That's right. One of the scopes of work is for the individual to do some surveillance. Now, this is a temporary part-time, so the position is not going to, you know, exist beyond 500 hours. But establishing the protocol that if it's other staff that we're doing it with, or if there's community volunteers that are doing the surveillance and then identifying for us that a problem has grown, that's what we want to be able to focus in on over the next several months, is how do we want to address those situations. And we'll be doing community outreach as well in order to get, you know, input from everybody and move forward from there.
Those are my questions.
Yeah, my first question was, is this going to end up just working on four or five hot spots that are continually a crisis, or are we going to be able to spread out and do some where there's some smaller challenges or where we need garbage cans somewhere else, for instance, in the whole district? I mean, there are other corners of the district that focus just on these.
You know, obviously there's hot spots, but we also want to be able to do broad community coverage. And sometimes the broader community coverage is just through the outreach and making sure the whole community is informed of, you know, the need to address illegal dumping. And with respect to the trash cans themselves, if we're seeing areas that are having some problems and locating a new trash can there is going to help address that, then we'll be doing that as well.
Yeah.
And when you say trash cans, you mean the bags we have around town?
The ones we have around town, the brown ones?
Yeah, they've sort of got that textured rock.
I didn't want to say that, but yeah, those nasty things.
And before we replace any of them, we'll come back to the board and, you know, seek input.
Thank you.
There's some that we've seen from other communities where, just like the CSD has a logo, some communities are basically, you know, have nice logo, look good. The bridge over the railroad tracks has a new sort of feel, artistic design that the advisory committee supported. So I think we're also going to go through the OAC in order to get OAC's feedback on some design options.
Great.
Well, I'd like to see an OCSD sign on everything that we touch, because it tells the community what we're doing. You know, I think they don't think we do anything but sewer and water sometimes. Yeah.
Then they'll be after us to maintain all that stuff, too. So that's another gift. Something else that has bothered me for a while is these big green metal containers you see for people to drop clothes off into. Are becoming as big a mess as garbage. I have one by my business, and we're constantly picking up garbage, clothes they pull out, and then they use them for whatever. And there's no phone numbers on it. I don't even know how to contact anybody for that, because I'd like to have it removed, because we're out there almost every morning picking up stuff, because we have a lot of the homeless coming down to the beach in the morning. I just don't know how to get rid of it.
Code enforcement.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so you'll keep us up to date, and you're on your way to clean my alley up, right?
clean all the alleys up.
He's bringing his broom.
Let's go back to that priority. Okay.
Well, in defense of Halcyon, we do have our own.
Do you have an alley?
We have all of our roads are alleys. We also have kind of a steady drive at cleanup, and there is a kind of a community force. If somebody has a messy yard, I get targeted sometimes myself personally. Other people come and mention it to you, like, you know, I just did some really pretty stuff in my yard. What's wrong with yours? So, and maybe the whole neighborhood could do. I mean, the whole district could come into that
yard
kind of
shaming.
A program. Yard shaming, yeah.
Yes. Yard shaming. We won't have hall monitors. We'll have yard monitors. Okay, Mr. Ogan, does this need to be a vote?
So
on?
After public comment, there is a staff recommendation that should be considered by your board.
We're just competing with each other tonight, aren't we?
About what?
Okay, public comment, Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And while it's not the board's job to choose the person who's going to fill this position, Mr. Ogren has mentioned a few times an intern from Cal Poly, and I have no doubt that that person is qualified. My concern is that there's likely very qualified people that live in Oceano that could also use this small temporary job. And I would like to see that there's as an equal opportunity employer, that you are going to get some recruitment. And just because this intern has approached Mr. Ogren may not be the person that's right for the job. Some of the things Ms. Lucy said with regard to sort of policing the alleys, et cetera, I'm curious if this person's going to be using their personal vehicle. Will there be mileage reimbursement if they're driving around your 1.6-mile square town, or if you can rely on your field workers that are out there every day already as watchful eyes, that they could spot those things and make a call in and say, here's a situation, and rather than this actual person going out there driving all your streets. And then I know that's not really on your agenda, but the idea about trash can replacement, those cans that do belong to the district, I've seen in other communities where someone adopts a can and they do an art project on it, and those are quite lovely sometimes. And you can even require, say, a beach theme or something like that. But, you know, don't close all the doors until you look at more options on that one, too, because I think there are opportunities to beautify Oceano, and this would be at someone else's cost and their own investment of their time.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there anybody else who'd like to comment at this time?
My name is John Carter.
Hi, John.
I'm an Oceano resident. I live across from the sanitation facility. I'd like to endorse this this idea and this concept wholeheartedly. And in fact, I think you should consider expanding it as time goes on. I think it's very timely. And I think the issues with trash and rubbish and other things that are associated with it is only going to get worse. So I think it's an excellent idea to get started on this right now.
Thank you, sir.
And further work it at the end so you can increase the funding. Thank you.
I have a question for Mr. Carter. I know that the cleanup that happened was near where you lived. Did it
help?
Yeah,
it was right across.
How has it been since that happened?
Well, I was going to actually make a presentation in the future on some of that. But it's actually going quite well, I believe. I've frequently go back in there, and I call the sheriffs when I find areas that are being repopulated. Mm-hmm. The sheriffs consistently have come out each time. Many times they've talked to me. I just saw three other sheriffs out there. I believe it was day before yesterday. There was two SUVs and a sheriff's pickup.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they arrested anybody, but I'm certain if there were people back there, they warned them that they're violating certain laws and ordinances and things like that. But I think it's what we're doing now is the right thing to do and move forward. But there's going to have to be some other things that are continually done to improve that environment. And you want to see some good things. I've seen families go back there with bicycles and stuff like that. And I've had people tell me, you guys really cleaned it up. So it's slow, but it's working. And I'm optimistic that with continued initiatives, for example, the one Pablo's proposing here is excellent. I think there'll be other, you know, companion-like opportunities for us to further develop, you know, the area out there. And like Pablo said, it's all about safety and health.
Right.
It really is.
And I agree. And I know for myself, I'm incredibly sympathetic to what you were going through and the challenges that you were facing and the trash that was backing up and the issues. And
yeah, they're not solved, but people have good ideas, and I see a lot of the people picking up trash around the area. I mean, my big deal is plastic bags. I just can't stand plastic bags.
Well, and I credit you with being one of the driving forces that got everybody alert to this and helped keep it motivated. And so thank you, John.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any other public comment on this item? No, hearing none, I'll close public comment.
My addition is I like the idea of Adopt-A-Can with some themes, because some of ours are near some of the businesses that we have in town, and we've seen Adopt-A-Road been successfully implemented both at local as well as the Caltrans level, and we'll work with that once for sure.
I can see one in front of the Oceana Melodrama decorated appropriately to match the melodrama's motif.
Could have a vaudeville hat as a trash can.
Okay. So you'll take that into consideration?
Yes.
Sponsoring a can?
Yes.
Without censorship? Because when you talk about art, you know.
Within the rules of government. When I was with the county, there was a Adopt a Road sign that fell outside the rules, and so we had to ask the sponsors to change their message. So we do have some restrictions as a governmental agency.
Okay. Well, I want to adopt a can.
We can lease them a can. How about that?
Okay.
So there is a recommendation for an action item.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve staff's recommendation to authorize the general manager to hire a part-time employee at a rate of $15 an hour for solid waste programs and duties as described in the Exhibit A.
Second.
You got to be fast around here, Lori.
It was. They were neck and neck there.
Director Garo?
Yes.
Vice President Wink?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. It passes. Cleaner day in Oceana. Wonderful. Thank you. Number 10, I guess.
Yes. Madam President, our formal public hearing for tonight is consideration of a recommendation to approve a resolution to collect delinquent accounts on 2016-17 property tax bills. The resolution and the list is in the back. The report that was originally submitted to your board in June has had one individual pay, and so therefore the report was reduced by one. An individual who is on the list today has paid as well. You don't have to take that into consideration in your action, because even if some of the others pay by the end of the week, they will be deleted from the list too, so that the beginning of next week, whoever has not paid then will be submitted to the county auditor for collection. This is consistent with board actions over the last several years, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions?
Nope. Isn't this, I would think this is quite low for this many customers.
Yeah, there's these are, here's the thing, we have two different categories of individuals when someone doesn't pay a bill. Those that occur with the sale of a property, and so those end up being our bad debt. And our bad debt is a really relatively small number, because if people don't pay their water bills, they get their water shut off. And so there are a few occasions when somebody sells their house, leaves town, doesn't pay the water bill, and then we don't get to collect against the new owner. Most cases when people, they clear up their account. In fact, we got a call from escrow today that says, how much does the property owner owe on their property, on their water bill. But again, those are the ones that ultimately become bad debt, a relatively small number, extremely small number. These are the ones where maybe the tenant has left and the property owner hasn't found a new tenant. Maybe the house burned down and they haven't, but the property owner is still the same property owner. So most houses, if a tenant leaves, you get a new tenant in. But in rare occasions, which is about a half a dozen right now, the water was turned off. It's still off, but the residence just simply isn't occupied for whatever reason, still under current ownership, and so we can collect on the tax roll.
Okay. In last year's, are you done?
Yes.
Okay. Last year, what it was like five or six, wasn't it? We started out with like 15 or 20 people, and then staff really started working with some of the residents and kind of handheld them.
That
in.
Might have been a few years ago. I don't remember if that was last year or a few years ago. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was.
So what was it last year? Did
two or three.
Nobody went to the tax rolls last year. Yeah. So
there was a few years ago where it was. We had quite a few, and then
it, like
it whittled down.
14 or 15.
Staff had whittled it down, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you guys worked really hard.
I said we, not me. It was the staff.
Yeah. All right.
And I should note, Celia's done all the work on this.
She has.
She has. Yeah. This is her job. She does it. Did it
you
well.
You rock.
All right.
You rock. Celia.
She's going to need more.
She does her job very well.
You're hired.
Before we vote on this, let's do public comment, just so I can catch these two. So is there any public comment on this item? Hearing none. Closing public comment.
To me, this is just an administrative manner. So
take it. Entertain a motion. You can't make it. These two.
I think somebody else should make one, yeah.
Okay. Lori, you want to entertain a motion?
Yes, I entertain that we approve the recommendations for the delinquent charges to go on the tax roll 2016-17.
Second. Do we need roll call?
Yes.
Okay.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Wayne?
Yes.
Director Garrow?
Yes.
President Newsom?
Yes. And thank you for your hard work, Celia. It shows.
Do we need to approve the resolution also? Oh, we just did. Okay, I'm sorry.
What did you think?
It's been a long week. I'm sorry.
Okay. Did we have any written communication?
The letter from the county auditor, which was discussed and covered in a prior agenda item.
Yep.
And then I verbally covered an email notification on the stormwater resource plan and the approval of that.
Okay. And at this time, we'll take on for a closed session. We'll do public comment before we go into closed session. So would you like to introduce public comment, Mr. Minnery? And then we'll do public comment.
Sure.
So you're going to introduce the motion.
Following public comment, the board will adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code 54957. This is the performance evaluation of the general manager.
Okay. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again, and for the last time tonight, I am Julie Tacker. July 21st marks Mr. Ogren's second anniversary here in Oceano. Of second year of his four-year contract. Just to reflect, Mr. Ogren was hired at $196,000 to do two jobs. He was to be your accountant and your general manager. He had a 2.5% raise of about $5,000 his first year. He's due a 2.5% raise this year, so that will take him to about $206,000. In December, your board considered amending Mr. Ogren's contract for the implementation was for July 21st of this year, to reduce his rate of pay to reflect that you would have hired a new business accounting manager, and you have done that. So I'm hopeful that while you are in closed session tonight, he will remind you of that amendment and that proposal, and that your district cannot afford both the business accounting manager and Mr. Ogren at this salary, and that you take him up on his offer to reduce his salary to be whatever is neutral. Ms. Cassiola makes approximately $60,000 a year. Mr. Ogren at $206,000. The difference, his rate of pay will go down to about $145,000. These are all round numbers, and I didn't use a calculator. I'm hopeful that you do agree with that proposal that was before you in December and put off and really didn't come back. But it is time to implement that, and for the benefit of the district, you really cannot pay that salary and Ms. Cassiola's salary and be sustainable.
Thank you, Ms. Decker. And on that note, do you just want to make
quick comment?
Close public comment first.
Okay.
And then before we go into closed session, I'm going to adjourn, but we're going to take a 5-minute break in between. But do you want to comment to public comment? Is that what you're asking of me?
I think that is warranted to provide some clarifications to public comment.
Okay.
Once you've closed public comment.
Okay.
And public comment's closed?
Almost.
Okay.
Yes, it's closed.
Maybe.
It's my way of getting back at Mr. Ogren. Okay, go ahead.
So, Ms. Tacker's recollection that we did have a discussion in December when your board approved the business and accounting manager position is correct.
That's right.
Ms. Tacker's recollection of the details, however, is not correct. At that time in December, your board had an office manager position that was deleted. My offer to your board was to the extent that the business and accounting manager position had a salary that was higher than the office manager position, then yes, I was willing to take a reduction in pay. The office manager position was providing bookkeeping types of services for the district in order to support my role as the, you know, my dual role as general manager and the district accountant. In December, your board consciously did not remove any of the district accounting responsibilities that I have. Those maintained. In addition, Ms. Cassiola came in at a salary that was comparable to the old office manager, slightly less. As a result, your board has actually had a short-term salary savings, and certainly at the completion of my contract term, you're going to have a long-term salary savings. So the offer was not that I was offering to pay the full salary of the new position, but was only to the extent that the new position was higher than the old position, which ended up not being the case. And so that we went back and, you know, looked back both in the at the December agenda items covered briefly as your board adopted the preliminary budget. But I think that that's the important thing is that, yes, the discussion had occurred. Ms. Tacker is correct on that. The detailed recollection is not correct. And I will point out that is the you're considering my evaluation tonight under my contract. This is the last potential increase that at the end of my third year, there is no more salary adjustments.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. And on that note, we're going to adjourn to closed session at 7:50. Right?
I'm there. He's looking up.